For more than 100 years, the Ouija board has been sold as a novelty. Parker Brothers Hasbro, who holds the trademarks and patents for the board, markets it as a toy. Yet in their advertising for the Ouija board, Hasbro doesn't bother to mention that this so-called toy that is marketed to children as young as 8 years of age was popularized by the American spiritualist Pearl Curran. Curran's use of the Ouija board as a divination device to contact a spirit identified as Patience Worth during World War I is legendary in occult circles. Hasbro doesn't warn buyers that the principle for the Ouija board originated in China in about the year 1100, when it was first devised to facilitate the contacting of spirits for the occult practice of automatic writing. Interestingly, this same practice has been one of Satan's primary deceptive tools and has brought forth some of the most prolific and poisonous teachings, which are today part and parcel of the New Age movement. No, the Ouija board certainly is a monopoly or Scrabble. The current advertising for the Ouija board states, "How it works has been a mystery for over 30 years." Well, my friends, I hope someone from Hasbro is listening, for the mystery is over. Stay tuned, as today on Take a Stand Radio, we're not only going to uncover the five central beliefs of the New Age movement, but you'll hear a real-life encounter of how two young sisters discovered that the messages being displayed through the Ouija board they were playing with had nothing to do with their manipulation of it, but were actually originating from the father of lies and the power of hell.
It's time to Take a Stand with Eric Barger. Each week at this time, author, speaker, and noted Christian apologist Eric Barger is here to help you discern the times in the light of God's Word. And now, here's Eric Barger.
Well, greetings, everybody. Take a Stand Radio is indeed on the air today. Thanks for joining us for this edition. This is the fifth installment in our series on the New Age movement, New Age Truth or Old Age Deception. In a moment, we'll recap and finish the segment we started during week four of the series, which exposes the five central beliefs of the New Age movement. We have a lot to cover today, so allow me to quickly introduce myself to new listeners who maybe are tuning in for the first time. Well, this is the weekly broadcast of Take a Stand Ministries. We're headquartered in Rowlett, Texas, which is a suburb of Dallas. This is our 29th year full-time Christian apologetics and discernment ministry. The main function of my work is to travel nearly every week to local churches of many different stripes. I go to conferences and Christian schools across North America, and I present Take a Stand seminars. These seminars deal with the cults and the occult and the emergent church movement, apostate movements inside Christianity, the world religions, spiritual warfare, and of course the effects of the entertainment world on us here in the church and the culture around us. Again, my name is Eric Barger. I'm really glad you're joining us today. I want you to get the most out of our ministry, so use our website. That's ericbarger.com, E-R-I-C-B-A-R-G-E-R, ericbarger.com. Use it as a resource center. There you're going to find over 1,100 pages of documentation and information. You'll find all of my last book, most of my second to last book, and parts of another book that I've written up online, free of charge to read. The only thing you'll ever have to spend any money on at our website is if you wanted to buy one of the products, a DVD or one of our books, and of course, they're available there, and we encourage you to do that so you can help support the ministry to keep us going, to keep us on the air. That's how we are funded. We are completely funded by those who listen and those who believe in this kind of ministry being on the air. Granted, we are not like so many of the other programs you listen to on Christian radio, but I believe this is the type of program that we need just in the time frame that we're in today. Now, if you go to our website, ericbarger.com, sign up for our newsletter. We'll never share your name with anybody else, but we will send you a free CD of one of my messages. We'll also send you an information pack that's chock full of information, and anybody who's not already in our database, as soon as you sign for the newsletter, we'll put you on the list to get one of the CDs and, of course, the information pack. Don't forget to check out our radio archives when you do visit ericbarger.com. You can catch up on all the past programming of Take a Stand Radio, including the first four episodes of this series that we're in now in the New Age movement. And of course, you can subscribe to our podcast by going to iTunes, and our RSS feed is available to you as well. And some of you know what that is. That's a way to be able to get our podcast anytime you want it and be able to peruse back through all the past programs, whether you're on your computer or a device or on your phone. That's the way I listen to podcasts on my phone. When I travel, I download podcasts, then I'm on a plane or in the car, wherever I'm going, I'm able to listen to different broadcasts that I'm interested in as well. You can listen at your own leisure, listen live online, or download those programs. And of course, that's a great way to catch up with what we're doing. I know you're busy out there. I know there's a lot going on in our lives, and I encourage you to get all the information you can that will help you in the day that we live in today. Well, we'll get started again with the series on the New Age movement in just a second. In the last episode of the series, which was number 4, I named 3 of the 5 core or central beliefs of the New Age movement. You know, because New Agers are freewheeling and without a central document that formulates their doctrine or gives ideas for what they all believe, it's hard to boil it all down or pinpoint exactly what each one in the New Age movement might believe. As a kind of caveat or sort of disclaimer, I want you to understand that what one person says is New Age, or what one New Ager claims is New Age practice or his or her particular belief, may not be what another group or person actually would call New Age. They kind of freewheel it. They believe in doing their own thing. Remember, a lot of these folks are the hippies that never really grew out of it. They're still living in that time frame in their minds. They're still exploring the spiritual experiences that they learned with LSD and that kind of thing. And I was right in the middle of it, as many of you listening right now were as well. So you know exactly what I'm talking about. All right, with that said, let's recap and discuss the 5 core or central beliefs of the New Age movement. We got 3 of them done in episode number 4, and we're going to finish them all today. Remember, in the last program, I said that all 5 of these core beliefs or doctrines of the New Age movement have their roots in a very famous section of Scripture from the Bible. But with that said, I want you to understand the Bible doesn't corroborate the New Age movement. It exposes it, and you'll understand that once I read this very famous passage. It's Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of any tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." So this brings us to the first doctrine or belief system in the New Age movement. This is how the lie was imparted. It's through mediumship. It's now called transchanneling. It's the world of the occult. Now, I should define some of these terms that coincide with this topic, particularly how these terms have been changed in New Age beliefs and New Age philosophy. You know, it's really the old occult practices with a new paint job on them. A seance is now called a channeling session. Mediums are now called channelers. The occult is no longer dark and foreboding. Now it's called the new spirituality. It's now called New Age. And where it all takes place is no longer in an apartment over a metaphysical bookstore in a seedy section of one of our larger cities. In 1986, it made it all the way to the theme of a best-selling book and miniseries by Academy Award-winning actress Shirley MacLaine. Experiencing what is now called altered states of consciousness have always been classically referred to as demon possession or oppression in the past. But the New Age movement has put a new paint job on these old occult beliefs. And let's face it, there in the Garden of Eden, as Satan spoke to Eve, this is Lucifer, of course, in the Old Testament, speaking to Eve. You know, Eve didn't know that snakes weren't supposed to talk, and she carries on this conversation with him. This is the first seance in history. As Lucifer possesses the body of a serpent to speak to Eve, to give her this demonic idea to contradict what the Word of God says, to trick her, basically, And that's exactly what is going on in trance channeling sessions and in mediumship. We see the very first seance in history back there in Genesis chapter 3, and Satan has not changed his modus operandi since then. He continues to trick humankind the very same way that he did Eve in the garden, by transplanting God's word and getting her to believe something that was obviously opposite of God's word. The second doctrine, if you will, or belief system in the New Age movement is the idea that you're not going to die. Universalism and, of course, reincarnation, substitutes for the judgment and a path to enlightenment. This is what so many people are after. The third thing that I want to talk about, the third doctrine or belief system in the New Age, is the idea of work salvation. You know, when you think about it, work salvation is part of our fallen human nature. We see so many people who were caught up in and really, really captivated by religion, thinking that if they just are good enough, that somehow God will accept them. Ladies and gentlemen, let me speak to this because I know there are people in good, sound, evangelical, Bible-believing churches that I preach in who are sitting there week in, week out, but in the back of their mind, they think that somehow they have something to do with their salvation. Let me tell you something. I have nothing to do with the salvation of Eric Barger. I'm just agreeing with what God said. I'm just getting on his page. My works cannot save me. You know, I think we need to get the shoe on the right foot here, because we don't work to get saved. There's nothing I can do to add to my salvation. I'm either saved or I'm not. And as Dr. Martin used to say, you know, being saved is like being pregnant. There's no such thing as a little bit. You either are or you aren't. And that's really how it is for us and our salvation. So I want you to understand that it is not our works that can save us. I don't work to get saved. I work. I do good works. I spread the gospel. I feed the hungry. I help clothe the naked. I try to be who God has called me to be because I'm saved, not to try to get that way. So I hope you see that in a very simplistic way, the whole idea of, eat the apple to get the wisdom has really trickled down to us and to mankind, to the idea that religion can save us, that if we just do enough good stuff, enough good works, that somehow, you know, God will say, okay, come on in, you're okay, everything's all right because you've now worked your way into it. No, Jesus did it all for us, folks. We can't add to it. We can't subtract from it. He did it all for us. And our complete and utter dependence on him is the only way for us to be saved. Now we come to the fourth New Age belief. And that is the idea of an elite, secret, esoteric, hidden wisdom that's available to those who become initiated. The whole idea of secretive rituals is a mainstay in the world of the occult and has been for centuries. Now, you know, this idea of occult rituals to become illumined, this is advertised to those who are seeking spiritual contact or for spiritual power as a vehicle to find this personal spiritual illumination. And we see this kind of thing throughout the culture. We see it in the very first degree of Freemasonry. We see it in the second and third degree in the Blue Lodge. And then, of course, all the way up to the 33rd degree of the Shrine. And, you know, I'm probably going to do a series on Freemasonry in the future. It's going to be a long series when we get into it. It's going to take several weeks, just a half hour a week, to be able to unfold it. That's why I'm hoping that we can expand the program to an hour next year. But that's another story, or within the next year. You know, the whole idea of swearing oaths. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, swear by nothing. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, and anything beyond this comes from the evil one. I believe there's a lot of really good people who are probably church members, some of them Christians, who have gotten involved in Freemasonry because they think it's a way to be illumined. It's a way to have some sort of super spirituality. Well, I tell you right now, when you get into the world of the occult, you might get some sort of spiritual goosebumps. You might think you have something that others don't have, but the single thing you don't have is the approval of God. And I hope that everybody listening understands what I'm saying and will consider that if you've gotten involved in this stuff, you need to renounce it, you need to repent of it, and you need to move on with God and know that the only wisdom we need is found between Genesis 1 and the end of the book of Revelation. Finally, the fifth New Age belief is Godhood for mankind, the idea that man is in the driver's seat. This is exactly what the culture believes today. Science and education now, for the most part, scoff at the idea of faith in God. Now, men have decided to trust in themselves instead of trusting in the one who gave them life. Now they worship the creation instead of the Creator, just as Romans chapter 1 indicates would happen. I believe Romans chapter 1 is a type of prophetic chronology. And once men had decided to reject and abandon God, and they've turned to this undue, untoward affinity with the earth that we've seen happen over the last few decades, and this has become exacerbated, of course, with the Eastern mysticism and the Hinduism and occult paganism that was introduced en masse to our culture and our society just a few decades ago. You know, those who read their Bibles carefully are forewarned about this and what would come next. We'll understand this if we read the Scripture. We can look now and see what's happened, and we can see that the Scripture predicted it to us. Just as the Scripture warned it would be, we are now witnessing an explosion of publicly accepted homosexuality, which is exactly what the Scripture states would happen when man began to worship the creation instead of the Creator. It's no stretch to grasp that the lie of Godhood for mankind surely isn't confined to the counterfeit belief systems of the LDS or Mormon Church. In fact, as long as we humans don't worship God, then Satan is quite pleased with whatever else we've decided to worship in God's place, just as long as we don't worship God. For as long as we're doing that, then he, that is Satan, gets every person who has supplanted something else for God, and he gets them for all eternity. So there they are, and just to recap for a second, there are the five central beliefs or doctrines or practices of the New Age movement. Once again, Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 are the scriptures I've used. The first one was mediumship or trans-channeling, the world of the occult. Secondly, universalism or reincarnation, a way, of course, to do away with the idea of death. Third would be work salvation or working your way into your spirituality. Fourth would be secret oaths and secret rituals, secret societies, the idea that you get secret esoteric wisdom. And fifth, of course, the capper, which is Godhood for mankind. I think we need to add an important point here at the end of this section. You know, of course, New Age thought doesn't have any place for a being known as Satan. There's nothing like that. That's so old-fashioned. You know, demons are just a figment of the Christian's imagination, and it's really a part of a religion that New Agers seem to really detest. What is curious to me is, however, that New Agers and liberals and those in the emergent church movement, they so often want to quote the Bible, but they want to completely do away with, make fun of, and mock in any way anything that has to do with evil or occultic supernaturalism, coming from a standpoint, that is, that something's wrong with it. One has to simply ignore so many large passages of Scripture and just cherry-pick Scriptures that you want to believe in and discount or do away with all the rest. You need to crucify the content of the Bible to be able to do what New Agers do. But this is kind of standard fare inside the New Age movement, to discount what you don't like and to pick up what you do. This is exactly, by the way, what so many people inside churches have done and are continuing to do, even in evangelical churches. Invariably, New Age leaders, in their books and in their seminars, quote the Bible right alongside the Bhagavad Gita or Buddha or the Hindu writings or outright occult teachings. And though it's often quoted, the way the Bible is used by the channelers and the occultists is always out of context and omits everything that relates to a personal relationship with God, to the fact that we're sinners who need a Savior, to the idea that we need to repent and come to Jesus, and all of that kind of thing is completely left out. Well, in just a minute, I'll come back and we'll talk about Ouija boards, and I have a story that you don't want to miss concerning the use of a Ouija board. On the Hasbro Toys website, it says, "Turn out the lights. Now the board and message indicator glow in the dark." How it works has been a mystery for over 30 years, for two players, ages 8 to adult. Well, there were two little girls many, many years ago who had a Ouija board. I don't think their parents had any idea there was a problem with it. But Melanie and Joanna, and if you're curious who that is, that's my wife and her sister. They got a Ouija board for Christmas. Both of them thought that the planchette, which is the small heart-shaped piece of wood or movable indicator that's used to manipulate or spell out messages on the board, they thought it was simply moving the letters to spell answers to the questions that they were asking it. So they ask, you know, dumb questions, girl-type stuff, like who's my boyfriend or who will I marry? But when they asked the Ouija board where Melanie had met her current boyfriend at that time, and his name was Ned, well, the board didn't spell out where my future wife and her sister had anticipated it was going to spell. Melanie had met Ned at a local teen hangout where dances were held every Saturday night, and the place was called The Pit, P-I-T, The Pit. The Ouija board spelled out the word church when the girls asked it where Melanie and Ned had met. Now, Melanie and Joanna stopped and looked at each other, and they were puzzled, and they said, each of them independently said, I thought it was going to say The Pit, because that's what I was thinking. When they realized what had happened, they screamed, they threw the board across the room, they made their dad go and get it and put it up in the attic. They never played with it again because they realized the board had answered something neither of them were thinking about. You see, Melanie had met Ned at church. The pit was in the basement of a church. And so it had spelled out the right answer, but it wasn't what the girls were thinking. They knew there was a third entity involved. They never played with the Ouija board again. Now, if you've been playing with a Ouija board or have played with one in the past, or maybe reading your astrology chart, maybe reading occult books, trying spells or incantations or magic potions, and there are people that do this all the time, especially after the Harry Potter phenomena. If you've done that kind of thing, I cannot in the strongest way encourage you to renounce it, to repent of it, to turn from all occult activity. And that's exactly what this is. A Ouija board is an occult item. Tarot cards are occult items. An astrology chart is an occult item. It's a way to try to divine what your future is going to be about. It's a way to try to get secret knowledge or wisdom that you don't have. It's a way to look for wisdom or ideas that only God understands. See, only God knows the future. We don't know the future. Satan doesn't know the future. Oh, he's a good guesser, but he really doesn't know the future. No medium, no sorcerer, no witch, no occultist, nobody telling your fortune or reading your palm can know what the future holds. Only God and God alone knows the future. I cannot, in the strongest terms, again, encourage you that if you've been involved in any of these kind of things, if you have adopted New Age philosophies, for example, if you believe that crystals can give you some sort of supernatural power, if you've adopted a good luck charm or a talisman, something like that in your life, then right now, in the name of Jesus, simply say, Father, forgive me. I surrender all of these ideas to you. And I repent of these things. I'm now going to follow you and trust you for every day of my life and not trust astrology, numerology, palmistry, or any kind of occult means. I am now trusting in you. Well, I'm amazed how fast this half hour goes each week. My time is already gone, but before I'm completely out of time, please remember to go to our website at ericbarger.com, request the free information pack and free CD. We'd love to send you one. Also, remember we have a DVD of this material available. It's called New Age Truth or Old Age Deception. Your order will help support our ministry, and we appreciate that. Well, the ministry is supported each week by the friends and supporters of Take a Stand Ministries in Rowlett, Texas. Come join together with us as we take a stand. Thanks so much. I'll talk to you next week. God bless you.
With nearly three decades of experience, Eric Barger and Take a Stand Ministries exist to see the lost saved and the church changed by providing cutting-edge insight on issues facing us today. This is a listener-supported ministry. And your participation is needed. please consider a gift to help Eric and Take a Stand challenge both the world and the church. Send your gifts and requests for products mentioned on this broadcast to Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. That's Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. Or call us at 214-289-5244. This is John Clemens reminding you to join us right here again next week, encouraging you to take a stand for Jesus Christ each and every day.
Hello, friends. This is Eric Barger. If you believe that bold, cutting-edge programs are important, then I encourage you to help us with Take a Stand Radio. Besides the many ongoing expenses of ministry, the purchase of radio time is a real step of faith for us, and I'm counting on our CSN listeners to help with the cost of presenting this outreach each week. A great way to support Take a Stand is by ordering the materials offered on the broadcast, such as my DVD teaching, New Age Truth, or Old Age Deception that we featured today. This video will help warn and educate your family and church, and would serve as a great resource to share with anyone who's embraced New Age philosophies. The complete message is also available on audio CD as well. To order your copy or to contribute to Take a Stand, simply visit ericbarger.com or call 214-289-5244. Thanks for letting us hear from you today.